This morning we're going to make a movie. Are you ready? Scene 1. The sky, a stunning blue. The camera scrolls down to a magnificent building, massive pillars, solid, 100 feet high, several feet thick. We pan across a crowded courtyard, throngs of people making their way to worship. We're in the ancient temple of Jerusalem, one of the wonders of the world. Cut to a young couple hurrying through the crowd. Clearly a bit overawed by it all, obviously country folk into the city for the first time. She clutches a small baby. They have brought him for the dedication rite of their religion. Pause the action. People can identify with that even in a secular culture like ours. There is a desire for ritual to mark the moment. People still ask for baptism, unlikely people sometimes. Some kind of innate hunger for the embrace of God brings them with their children to church. They may not easily articulate their motives. We might sometimes feel a feeling of being a bit used in some way, but there is still that natural response, that desire to do this thing, meaning and beauty, to know that special welcome. It's an important natural thing to do, thank God, to invite God into the relationship, to accept the miracle that he cares about this child. Camera, action, quiet everybody. Take one. The camera pans the crowd, sweeping past the anonymous mass, to settle on one old man. His face looks lived in. Wrinkles make a path across his brow. He has seen it all. His face tells a story. He is scanning the crowds anxiously, clearly looking for someone. Hoping, waiting, longing are etched on his face. He has held many children and looked with his searching, penetrating eyes into their faces, then smiled and congratulated the parents, hiding his disappointment. They are all lovely, they are all precious, but none of them is the one he waits for, the one who has been promised. He believes he has been assured by God that he will not die before he holds the Messiah in his arms. His eyes skip the crowds, looking, longing, waiting. Pause the action there and think for a little about old men and their wisdom and their story. Respect and love them, honour them, celebrate our champions. They have held the ground, run the race, kept the faith. Tried in the furnace of circumstances, they keep the beacon bright. They have the track record. We have the aspirations and the hope. They have the story. Ageism in society, ageism in the church, ageism in our thinking. Plenty of that around. It's only as I grow older do I realise the worth of the wisdom of the years. Great men in my story, Mr. McVicar, a man of 100, my dad in his 90s, countless men in the 70s and 80s whose role in the life of the church and the development of my faith and the faith of others has been crucial and pivotal, not to be dismissed, disregarded or sidelined. They have insights to bring, dreams to dream, hopes to hold to their hearts. Action, camera, quiet everybody. The old man, for the record, his name is Simeon, has seen another young couple, our original young couple. We watch him approach them. Oh, lovely child. Oh, thank you very much. May I? Certainly. A close-up of the old man's face. Bring the camera in. Something is happening. Emotion fills his eyes, tears glisten, he trembles and he smiles. Truly, his face lights up. The director is a good director and resists the temptation to add a soundtrack of soaring music, though it is a soaring moment. Instead, he lets the look on the old man's face tell it all, tell the story of the power of that moment. At last, this is it. He has come, this child. This is the one, the promised one, the longed for one. And a wave of contentment sweeps over him, a huge sigh. He can die in peace now. The future is safe. The blessed child is with us. Quietly, the old man hums a tune, holding this glorious moment to his heart. Through the long days of his final years, he has ached for this moment. A great calm settles in his soul. It feels good. It feels very good. Then his face darkens. He knows human nature. how unwelcome the truth is to men and women feeding on their rebellion. He looks at the child again, and a shadow crosses the face of the old man. He knows. He knows they will not welcome this child when he becomes a man and dares them to look in their souls and calls them to love God with all their hearts. A knife twists in the old man's soul. This child is born for rejection. This child is born for death. Very gently, he returns the baby to his mother. And he turns to the young woman who looks so proud and happy. And in a note that jars and grates and sickens, he warns her that suffering and heartbreak accompany this child and will sour and deface his story and by implication will crush her heart. Her smile fades. She looks troubled, fearful. This wasn't the script. Cut. And it begs the question, the old man's peace of spirit, his assurance about the future. What about the future? What about us? Is the future secure because of our commitment, our generosity of heart, our faithfulness, our love, our loyalty? Are we in this for the long haul, just as previous generations were? This church is our baby now. We've been entrusted with the gospel. The new generations are entrusted to our care. Can the giants of the past rest content with the shape of the future because they know we will not hesitate, hold back, or fail? Meanwhile, back in Jerusalem, action. The camera catches at the corner of the screen, just coming into shot, a fresh commotion breaking out. An old woman also accosts the couple and, pointing to their child, insists in her sing-song way that she too considers his birth to be of profound significance. Her insight and vision detect the utter uniqueness of this baby and the vital role he must play in the story of his people, in the story of all people. This godly old woman who has devoted her life to prayer and service in the temple has the insight and the intuition and the spiritual nous to detect that the child the young couple have brought to God is no stranger to God and will be no stranger to him all his days. The camera zooms in on the girl. She is embarrassed and proud and confused all at once. She looks to her husband for support and he stands helpless and perplexed. Something is going on here. They just can't be sure what. But the old woman is well sure that significant things are afoot, and we watch her make her way through the crowds, pointing at the couple, announcing the important truths she believes are happening right there and then. We see some in the crowd listening and wondering, and others smiling at the daft old wifey and carrying on with their business. The screen fades to black. The women of the church, and especially the old women of the church. What a story that is. What a debt that is. What a legacy entrusted to new generations to keep that banner waving in that direction true. For when the call comes for practical caring, the women have always been there. When the needs of the world come face to face with our comfort zone, the women roll up their sleeves and make things happen, raise millions of pounds for broken churches and broken lives and broken dreams. They serve and work and plan and work and move things on and make things better. And when it rains, and the wind chills their faces, and the hill seems long and hard, and why bother making the effort? The women of the church are there in numbers, making up the majority of congregations throughout the Church of Scotland, getting their priorities right, making that long and demanding journey out there to the second mile, as they have done throughout the years. And more than this, sustaining and upholding the life of the church with countless prayers, making time to be together for that, seeing that unless the Lord builds the house, we're just kidding ourselves on. As the camera follows the old woman as she all but skips back to the temple, The question is left hanging. What do examples of faith, insight and vision and commitment like this woman bring to us? New generations of men and women charged with the big job, the high calling. What do examples like Anna and Simeon say to our hesitancies and our sometimes shaky loyalty? And is it a challenge that dares us to commit ourselves, root and branch, no holding back, to the Messiah and the way of truth he offers? Our little movie may not win any prizes at the Cannes Film Festival, but it does help us think through the debt we owe to those in senior years whose insights and wisdom, whose remarkable contribution to the story of the church has to be honoured. And it does raise for us real questions about who the champions are going to be in our generation, on whose love and dedication the next phase of the long life of the church will be built. A new year doesn't stand alone. It's part of the process of time. It carries the legacy of last year and the years before that. None of us just arrive, and the church has not just arrived. It's not just about now, of today or tomorrow. It's also the church of yesterday. And that is not something to disdain or be apologetic about. It's here today because of the faith of yesterday. And the people on whose shoulders we stand, and we know who they are, deserve our regard, our respect, our friendship, a place of honour in our thinking. We can't, because you can't, start from scratch, even if that would be a desirable concept. We have blessings as well as baggage from our past, and we have to make sure that we never demonstrate disrespect towards those whose prayers, whose work, whose giving, and whose sheer utter faithfulness have got us here. We don't have to jettison everything about yesterday in our pursuit of tomorrow, nor will we. The young men will keep seeing their visions, and the old men will still dream their dreams, and the women will keep praying and serving and being there. It's an exciting and a powerful combination.